At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports to the max here on a Friday night. Timberwolves idol. It is All-Star Weekend in the NBA. And the Timberwolves shot from outside the arc like they needed a break. They ended up falling to Toronto in the final game before the break. 103-91. Alan Horton sent out a tweet about some of their numbers from downtown, and they certainly were not good. But the Timberwolves are still in a good position as they come out of the break and then the stretch drive, and look like they're going to be a playoff team. Top six still in reach. And joining us to talk about the Timberwolves here at the break, Chris Hine covers the team for the Star Tribune. Chris, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. How you doing?
Good. I saw that number from Alan following that game with Toronto, and it kind of laid out, you know, their struggles from the outside. And typically that's the way it goes for most NBA teams. If you're going to shoot that badly from the outside, you're going to have trouble.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you hear the phrase it's a make-or-miss league a lot. And when you're not hitting threes, especially in a league that's three-point heavy, you're going to struggle. You know, they got by Tuesday night against Charlotte thanks to a big fourth quarter in overtime from Karl-Anthony Towns. But they just they did look like they had very little left in the tank on Wednesday. So I think the All-Star break has come at a good time for them to kind of recharge for the final 20-plus games of the season here.
Yeah, and they come out of the break, and they have a tough team with the Memphis Grizzlies at Target Center on Thursday night, and then they welcome Philadelphia the following night. So they got pretty tough back-to-back right out of the All-Star break. But for the Timberwolves, the concern as much as anything over a long haul or a longer haul leading into the break wasn't so much a three-point shooting, but was just in general the way they were playing defensively, that it became a struggle, that one of the brighter spots early in the season or when they kind of surged into playoff contention was that they were playing good defense, but that fell off.
Yeah, it did. They were still to kind of the middle of the pack, towards the back of the pack even for stretches there in the month of February. You know, I think defense can be kind of a thing that ebbs and flows throughout the season. They're trying to incorporate some different coverages as well and not be so one-dimensional like they were earlier in the season, because I think they're trying to take the long view here of the season. And, you know, the more varied and multidimensional that you can be on defense down the stretch and into the postseason, the better off you're going to be, because you'll be able to tackle different matchups that you face. So I think that's part of the plan here. So you're seeing some growing pains with some of their more switch-heavy schemes that they're deploying right now. But it's all kind of with an eye towards the postseason. You know, should they be able to get into the actual playoffs and not just the play-in tournament. So, you know, I think they're going to be a little stubborn here and try to stick with kind of the plan going forward here with some of this stuff. We'll see if fresh legs coming out of the break and guys maybe getting a little healthier maybe helps that along as well.
Yeah, and the good news is that they have a pretty nice cushion in the top 10. That, you know, you got Portland at in the 10 spot, San Antonio in the 11 spot. So, you know, they're in good position there as they come out of the All-Star break. But ahead of them are some pretty solid teams in Denver and Dallas and Utah. In reality, and really it's only Dallas and Denver that are within reach or in realistic reach for the Timberwolves coming out of the break. And for them, I think having that goal of not looking in the rearview mirror, but looking ahead and trying to get into the top six is really a noble goal. And to be at that point as we head for late February, I think Timberwolves fans have to be satisfied with that.
I think so. I mean, you know, they've taken a step forward this season, kind of no matter how you slice it.
Yep.
So from that end of things, they've definitely taken a bit of a jump. You know, like you said, they have spoken about this goal of trying to get into the top six, which would avoid the play-in tournament, and that's what they should be focused on right now. I think it's going to be very tough because I think Denver and Dallas, like, they still play very good basketball. Jokic is determined to not let Denver slip too far. And I think they might be getting some help along the way in terms of some of their injured players coming back. Dallas continues to win. They traded Kristaps Porzingis at the deadline, but, you know, they continue to win going into the break, and, you know, they're seated a few games ahead of the Wolves right now. And, you know, you look at the schedule, there's not a lot of basketball left in the season here, relatively speaking. Like, I think we're at 23 games or so left, maybe.
That's right.
If I remember correctly, 23 games left. So it's not a ton of time to make up a lot of ground. You're going to have matchups against some of those teams ahead of you as well, so you just got to keep winning. But, you know, Dallas, right before the All-Star break, you know, went into Miami. I know they beat Miami. I forget if they were on the road or not. But, you know, they posted a very nice win against Miami. You know, Denver continued to win. And then the Wolves had basically everybody available to them on Wednesday night. Toronto didn't have Fred VanVleet. They're All-Star. And the Wolves lost to the Raptors. So if you have an eye on the sixth seed, you can't be losing games like that, especially when those teams ahead of you keep winning.
Yeah. And there has been this trend with the Timberwolves. And when I've been on for Henry on Timberwolves Tonight following home games or road games, doesn't matter, when the Timberwolves have played games like that or they get lackadaisical defensively, there's this sense where they play well or win a couple of games and they start feeling good about themselves, and then they take a step back. And that's still a trend, and I get it. There's a lot of younger players or players that haven't been in this situation before. So it is part of it, understanding that, you know, you win two or three in a row and you're getting away with some things, you can still get burned. And that, I guess, is what's frustrating and why the Timberwolves are still in the spot they are and, you know, aren't with the likes of Phoenix or Golden State or Memphis and Utah, where they're solidly in the top four in the NBA's Western Conference. To me, that is a difference where, you know, they don't fall into that trap where they start patting themselves on the back and start feeling good about themselves and take a night off.
Yeah, I think they've gotten a little better at that. It's not as bad as it was, especially last year, where they would win a game and then it would be like they would lose two or three more before they would find the motivation to
right.
have the urgency to win again. I think they've gotten a little better at it, but you're right. I think, you know, just just with the urgency of a night like Wednesday night, you know, Patrick Beverley came into the post-game press conference, and, you know, sometimes after losses, he actually strikes an optimistic tone. He was very disappointed in that Wednesday game because I think he realized that that was a game that they should have had, that they let slip away, and that, you know, again, and he made the point that if you're trying to catch the Denvers and the Dallases of the world, that's a game you need to win. That's a game you need to put in the win column, no matter how well you might have played. And they did have a good February overall, or they have had a good February overall. So, you know, that's the difference between being the seventh seed and the sixth seed, because I think that there is a separation in quality of team once you, you know, I think you're right. Maybe the top four, Utah's been slipping. They've had some injuries of late. But I think there is a demarcation between, like, kind of the top four, you know, Dallas and Denver there. And then I think you draw another line between Denver and the Wolves, because I think the Wolves, you know, before they get to 60, they have to actually prove that they belong in that class of team. And I don't think that they've quite done that yet.
Yeah, there have been some positives as well that stand out. And Karl Anthony Towns, you know, taking over games late is a very good sign, and I think fans are comfortable. You got to get the ball to Cat in the fourth quarter with the game on the line, and that has seemed to pay dividends this season as much as anything. That Cat has really stepped up, and you know, everyone knows how good he is. He's an NBA All-Star reserve. I mean, he's not under the radar, but it seems more and more Cat's willing to really step up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you saw that on Tuesday night for sure. You know, I think one of the things that's been, and I want to write about this for Sunday's paper coming up here, is one of the things that I think has been impressive about Towns' season this year is basically whatever the Wolves have needed him to do on either end of the floor, whether it's to shoot from the outside, to play down low, to play from the high post, you know, on defense, it's to guard the high wall, to maybe play in a more traditional drop scheme. It's like whatever they've asked him to do, he's been able to do and do well. And I think it's one of the reasons why he's back in the All-Star game. Even though he, in previous years, he's had the numbers to back it up, what he's done this year and what they've asked him to do has contributed more to winning than at any point in his recent career, I feel like, because he's been selfless in that way. He's done what they need him to do on any given night. And I think, you know, the team appreciates, I think people around the league appreciate that out of his game this year. And that's why he's in the All-Star game on Sunday night.
For the Timberwolves going forward, if they have any hope, it's going to be more consistency from a couple other players. D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards really stand out for me, Chris, that, you know, some nights great and some nights it's like, yeah, they're not helping Cat out. Now, other players have stepped up. Malik Beasley's had his moments, et cetera, but, you know, D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards over the final 23 are going to have more good nights than bad.
Absolutely. You know, and you saw it the other night, they did not play well. Yeah. Either of them played well in that game against Toronto. And what happened? The Wolves lost. So, you know, with Russell, you know, he's going to have those nights where he goes 2 for 12, right? Like that's kind of part of the D'Angelo Russell experience at this point. You just have to hope that those nights are fewer and farther between than they have been at other points in his Wolves tenure. And I think he's done a decent job this year of spacing those out. Anthony Edwards, on the other hand, the number one thing I'll be watching with him coming out of the break is, you know, just how healthy is he at this point? You know, he sprained his ankle on Tuesday night, tried to give it a go on Wednesday, you know, didn't look the same, you know, and one area where he was affected by an injured knee was finishing. You know, it didn't quite have the same lift and ability to finish that he did when he had an injured knee. When he rolled his ankle on Tuesday, I wonder if the same thing is true, where he might not have quite the quite the explosiveness and lift that he would like to have around the rim to finish some of these drives that he has. So I'll be curious to see how he comes out of the break. And honestly, you know, it'll be fascinating to watch Edwards as the games get really competitive. How does he respond to, you know, kind of playoff atmosphere basketball? If they get to the, you know, get to a play-in spot, get to a playoff series, how does he respond when teams are really game planning for him, honing in on him? What are his counters? What does he do to respond, you know, in his second year in the league? That to me is going to be some of the most fascinating parts of the season here. And it's, you know, even if it doesn't go well, it's a real opportunity for growth for him in year two. And I think that's one of the things to watch down the stretch here is what do they get from Anthony Edwards and how does he respond to the league really trying to load up on him.
And two very good teams coming out of the break. Thursday night, the 24th, Target Center, Memphis in town, John Morant. And then Embiid in on Friday night in the 76ers. That's like a wicked back-to-back coming out of the All-Star break. Yeah.
It'll be great basketball, though, if, you know, to see in person, for sure. I'm looking forward to both of them, absolutely.
Yeah, and I would expect good crowds at Target Center both nights for those. Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, always good to visit with you. I enjoy your work and your time on the radio, whether you join us here or you visit with Henry. Always good to chat with you.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Thank you so much.
All right, there he is, Chris Hine, covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune online at startribune.com. And All-Star Weekend festivities, you know, it's fun. You can't take too much of it seriously. It's entertainment, nothing beyond that. I mean, in reality, you'd probably want all these guys to just take a breather and get some downtime. I know it's an honor to be a part of All-Star Weekend festivities, but, you know, at this point with the Timberwolves getting into a playoff push with 23 to go, and then the Grizz and the Sixers coming out of the break, and we'll have them all for you. Cal Soderquist with the pregame show. And then, of course, Alan Horton with all the play-by-play here on the home of the Timberwolves. Don't forget about Henry Lake after every weeknight game, Timberwolves Tonight, here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. NBA All-Star Weekend, a three-point shooting contest, all that sort of stuff. I'll tune in. You know, I'll catch. I'm not going to be glued to the NBA All-Star game. And we've talked about this in the past when it comes to All-Star games. I just wish it would go east-west. I don't need Team LeBron against Team Durant.
They're making it too gimmicky. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
rock,
I don't
like
need that.
It's like Rock and Jock basketball now that used to be on MTV.
I don't need that. Just east-west. I think the NHL's twist going 3-on-3 where it's divisions, that isn't bad. I watch because Kirill Kaprizov and Cam Talbot were part of the Central, and they got all the way to the championship game and lost to the Metropolitan Division. That isn't a bad format. Divisions playing together, okay. You know, just go back to East-West and the NBA All-Star game and call it a day. I think the whole draft with LeBron and Kevin Durant and all that drama with James Harden at the end is just stupid. Another bad idea, and this has been floated out there, is a mid-season tournament in the NBA. They already have a play-in tournament, and that came down in the bubble, if memory serves. And now you've got the play-in tournament, 7-10, 8-9, and then they ultimately advance into the playoffs. So I don't have a problem with that play-in tournament. I really, really don't. But any sort of mid-season or in-season tournament, Chris, you and I are on the same page. This whole idea makes absolutely no sense.
It is absolutely ridiculous for a league that preaches load management to have this in-season tournament that you're going to put wear and tear on players. For what? At the end of the day, what are they playing for? Like, I mean, you've got guys that are going to play at the All-Star game. You know, and granted, I mean, it's not going to be real stressful, but they're still playing. And I don't understand, like, what is the meaning of this? This is so ridiculous. that they're even contemplating this. Because you can't claim load management and we want the players to be fresh when you're having a midseason tournament. Like it is completely contradictory to what they're trying to tell us.
Well, and what scares me is what they're saying is that we're going to reduce the number of regular season games and we're going to create this tournament because for the first couple of months of the NBA regular season, we're getting the feeling that a lot of these guys are just going through the motion and getting back to load management.
Well, of course they are.
You know, it really takes me right back to there's too many games. There's too many games. You look at MLB at 162, they could easily knock that back to 154 like it was way back in the day, in the old days.
Maybe this is going to be the first year that they won't be able to get it
straight. Or 148.
Yeah.
But, you know, could the NBA or NHL, you know, drop this back to 70 games, you know, with the idea that, okay, we may expand the playoffs? And I don't know if I like that because the playoffs are already so watered down in the NBA and the NHL, where I feel like way too many teams get in. I think the NFL went a step too far this year in adding another playoff team. You know, the wild card weekend, it was too much. I mean, it was too much, and there were too many bad teams.
But then it ended up, though, we had to tolerate that bad weekend of football. The rest of the playoffs were fantastic. I mean, can we agree on that?
I will admit.
Okay.
Yeah, but they were almost a 180 from wild card weekend. The games, in some circumstances, were almost unwatchable. It was just like, what am I doing here? You know, if the weather wasn't so crummy in this part of the world, I would have done anything else. But, you know, the weather was bad. So, you know, what did you have to do other than watch football? So I think this whole tournament idea, really what they should get down to is, what is a good number for the regular season? And I know clubs, with all their regional sports television networks,
packages
and all the packages and ticket sales, they're not going to go away. They're going to still want 41 home dates any way they cut it. But I just can't be. I just don't know how players are going to react and fans are going to react to an in-season tournament. I just don't know how you create juice. You know, what's going to make it any different from just a regularly scheduled game?
Well, yeah, because it's not organic. That's the thing. It's like if you're going to try and manufacture something, fans are going to see right through that. I mean, if it's not organic and fans can't get genuinely invested, why would they spend their money? To me, just have the regular season game. I mean, if this isn't going to count towards anything and it's some bogus trophy or award that doesn't ultimately help you in the goal of winning an NBA championship, then it's completely irrelevant. It's pointless.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't know what. Now, there's obviously got to be a television component in all of this where a television executive or two or three has sat down and said, I think we can sell this, and if we put it in this time slot, you know, we can create some interest. But what are you going to hand out, the mid-season NBA trophy? I mean, it's kind of like, what? I'm just not a fan and think it's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But that also means it's going to happen.
Pretty much.
Right? Yeah.
If Adam Silver wants it and they can create revenue, they can generate revenue, then by all means, it's what's going to happen.
They're going to do it. 7:31. It is Sports to the Max. Steve in for Mike tonight. I'm in tomorrow afternoon between 2 and 6. Invite you to tune in for that. Henry Lake coming up tonight. NBA All-Star break. Timberwolves are off. Oh, by the way, the Wild are in action as they try and bounce back from an ugly loss to the Winnipeg Jets. They are playing Florida tonight. Golden Gopher women's hockey, they are idle tonight. They continue their series with St. Thomas tomorrow. Brad Frost will join us later in the show. There's tons of girls hockey section finals tonight around the state of Minnesota as they fill out the state tournament that begins Wednesday for 1A, Thursday for 2A at the XL Energy Center in St. Paul. We're closing in on the start of the regular season for Major League Soccer. They're going to get an early start this year because of the World Cup later in the year. It is 7:32 here at News Talk. 830 WCCO. Thursday, Kevin O'Connell became the Vikings' 10th head coach in team history. And when I heard that number, it's like, kind of like, well, I can name all of them. And then leave it to Patrick Royce, the veteran Star Tribune columnist, to rank the first nine. And it goes without saying Bud Grant's number one. I think by any metric, Bud Grant's number one. And then you can kind of argue in some way, shape, or form about the rest. I think Patrick in his column had Denny Green number two. And then after that, you've got the rest with Les Steckel being number nine. You know, by far and away, 1 year as head coach, it was an unmitigated nightmare. And it was so bad that they brought Bud back for a year before they gave the job to Bernsie. But here they are in order. Norm Van Brocklin, Bud Grant, Les Steckel, then Bud Grant again, then Jerry Burns, Denny Green, number two on Patrick's list, then Mike Tice, Brad Childress, Leslie Frazier, Mike Zimmer, and now Kevin O'Connell. And thinking aloud during the program on Thursday night, I brought this up, and it struck a nerve with Chris Tubbs, our producer. And
struck a nerve. That's a pretty strong way to say I'm interested. Struck a nerve. It's like you make it seem like that's a bad thing. I was giving you credit.
Well, here's the thing. It piqued your interest.
Yeah, maybe there you go. You make it sound like I'm some evil taskmaster who's like, it struck a nerve. It's like, oh, this dadgum article and your crazy rankings. Okay.
No, here's what I meant to say. The NBA in-season tournament struck a nerve.
Yes.
The whole where does Kevin O'Connell rank thing, we have no idea. He could be as terrible as Les Steckel. I highly doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
And he could surpass Bud Grant as number one all time before his tenure is over. We have absolutely no idea. Chances are he'll fall somewhere in between. But
he'll fall in between the best and the worst. It's a bold statement, Stevie.
I know.
Would he go out on a
chances
limb?
Are, but here's the thing. This could be the game changer, and this is what came up on Thursday night, Chris Stubbs. If Kevin O'Connell gets the Vikings back to the Super Bowl and, mm-hmm. dare I say, win a Lombardi trophy,
mm-hmm.
and they finally climb that mountain and win a Super Bowl,
yeah.
Does that automatically move him ahead of Bud Grant?
I think it all depends on when. Like, Bud had all that success. I know Sans winning a Super Bowl. If he wins one Super Bowl and has a bunch of average years, and you know has say like maybe
Doug
a 500
Peterson.
Record. Yeah. Let's just say exactly like Doug Peterson. That's a pretty good comp. Does that make him better than somebody that had a longer run of success like Bud did, but ultimately didn't win any Super Bowls? It is so subjective, and it's very fascinating.
Yeah,
because if he wins a Super Bowl as the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, and I'm cautiously optimistic, as I choose to be. But if he does, that's something that no other coach in the history of this franchise has been able to say. So that in and of itself, I feel, vaults him into, at minimum, the conversation of number two. And,
Ahead of Denny Green.
Yes.
Because they were never able to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, we remember a lot of us who did not experience the 70s, we remember 15-1 in 98. Like, that was the highlight for us. We don't remember.
We're going to Miami.
Yes,
that was
our theme.
It was a foregone conclusion.
Yes.
I remember. Here's a quick story.
Okay.
I happened to be on the team here at the Good Neighbor at that time, very early in my tenure. That's how long I've been around is a weekend part-time guy. Think about that.
Ooh, you've seen some things.
Well, it's going to be 25 years if I make it to October. Don't tell anybody. I'm trying to keep that on the down low.
Have you negotiated?
I'll have been here for 25 years filling in and doing weekends if I can make it into October. Well, anyway. But when
thoughts
I was
and prayers,
early,
Steve.
In early in my tenure, there was all this talk, you know, when the Vikings go to the Super Bowl, we're going to have all the shows from Miami. Well, Steve, we'll need you to stay back. And
you got to babysit. Everybody else is going to the club. Stevie T's got to babysit.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it went down. I kid you not. I've been around long enough to remember, you know, this thing, the Vikings are going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. I think even KFGO would have sent me because I was I was a student at North Dakota State at the time. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, but they were nice about it. They said, we need you to stay back and man the fort.
Right.
We're going to send everybody else. So I remember that well. But the point being is, you know, if the ultimate goal is to get to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl, you're right. It'll take a much longer run and much more sustained success. In my opinion, even without a Super Bowl, to get to Bud Grant or Denny Green. And Denny Green's tenure here didn't end all that well. You look at the numbers, and Patrick laid it out. Denny had a pretty good run and had some pretty good teams here. And I don't think it's enough credit for what he did as head coach.
This team was a – they were a wreck. I mean, they were the hot mess express when Denny Green came in.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I mean, I really feel like, you know, Denny Green, and, you know, he had a falling out with the media, and it just became a three-ring circus at the end of his tenure. But, you know, he certainly had some success. And, you know, if you want to check it out in Patrick's column, he's got some numbers and put some work into it. It was really good. But I just was kind of wondering, and maybe we can throw it out on the text line for the rest of the show. If Kevin O'Connell is able to get the Vikings to a Super Bowl again and ultimately win a Super Bowl, you know, it's got to put him in the top two or three right out of the game.
Yeah, and I will say to Bud's credit, yeah, they lost those Super Bowls, but you look at the teams that they lost to, I mean, they were all literally some of the best teams of the decade with the Chiefs, the Dolphins, the Steelers, and the Raiders. I mean, those were stacked teams. This was not like they lost to a fluky team that.
Hey, Miami and Larry Zonka. I'm old enough to remember that. I couldn't really remember the Kansas City loss all that well, and Hank Stram. That was probably the one they should have won with Len Dawson and company. But, you know, they ended up getting beat, and they had a great game plan, and we've all seen the NFL films. But Miami, you had Larry Zonka, and you brought up the Steelers, the Steel Curtain. Terry Bradshaw and Franco Harris.
Oh, Lynn Swan, John Stallworth, Jack Lambert. I mean,
yeah, the Steel Curtain. And then the Oakland Raiders, and of course the late great John Madden coaching that team out in the Rose Bowl. I mean, they were dynamic. The Snake and Cliff Branch, and, you know, an unbelievably tough defense. So, I mean, in reality, the Minnesota Vikings were a great team late 60s through the 70s before they started to taper off in the late 70s and early 80s, and Bud ultimately hung them up. And then we all know about Steckel came back for the year, and then it was Burnsy. But, it really is interesting, you know, as Kevin O'Connell, and you think about it, 10 head coaches. I mean, haven't the Bears had like 10 head coaches in the last 20 years?
Yeah, I think Cleveland's had. I think Cleveland's had 10 since they've come back into the league from being an expansion team.
Well, you look at the Lions. You look at the Bears and how often they change coaches in some of these teams. So there has been some longevity along the way, and we'll see what Kevin O'Connell does. Who knows? Big decision coming up. We got into it in great detail last night. The huge Kirk Cousins decision, what will that be? We should know a lot in the next few weeks, for sure. 11 minutes down in front of 8. It is Sports to the Max. Steve in for Mike tonight. Chris Tubbs is our producer here on News Talk 830-WCCO. PGA Tour at Riviera in L.A. halfway through that tournament. Final stop in the West Coast swing. They head for Florida. And then the countdown to the Masters. Well, they want you to focus more on the Players' Championship in March and then the Masters in April. How about Joaquin Niemann just chewing up Riviera? 16 under par, 63-63. Cameron Young, two back. Justin Thomas, five off the lead. Adam Scott, he's at minus nine along with Jordan Spieth. Colin Morikawa, eight off the lead, but it's Niemann right now at 16 under par. And then Cameron Young, just two back. Some pretty big names, some good players. Victor Hovland, Cameron Smith at seven under par. Keegan Bradley in a group at minus five. See who else we got in the field here. Scottie Scheffler won in that playoff at the WM in Scottsdale. He's at minus four. Rory at three under par. But yeah, the cut this week was at even par. So that's a pretty generous cut, even par at a PGA Tour event. But you've got three guys in double digits under par, and Niemann at minus 16, and then Young at minus 14. Those really standout numbers. Young shot a 62 today at Riviera. So the third round coming up tomorrow on CBS, final round on Sunday. And then once again, the tour heads for Florida. I love the swing, and I love catching a little golf from Riviera. If you didn't hear earlier, Major League Baseball said no spring training games until early March. They've wiped out spring training games. Phil Miller had a piece in the Star Tribune laying it out, but there will be no spring training games before Saturday, March 5th. So the Twins lose seven Grapefruit League games, including an exhibition game with the Minnesota Golden Gophers. So the thought is that the regular season could be impacted if there's no agreement in place by the end of February. So we'll continue to follow that story. By the way, Phil Miller is going to join me tomorrow on the program, scheduled to join at 4:35. We'll lay out all of this and kind of talk about what are the core issues and why isn't a deal done. Why are they playing chicken right now with the fans? Considering where we were with COVID, some of the other concerns around the game, and that's what's just driving me crazy. Because I'm a lifelong Twins fan and love going to the ballpark and really enjoy this countdown to the start of the season and speculating about what the club's going to look like. And we can't do that right now. And I think that's a shame. So hopefully cooler heads are going to prevail, and the owners and players are going to get it figured out. By the way, we have a state champion. The state gymnastics meet underway at the legendary Roy Wilkins Auditorium in St. Paul, and the 2A team title goes to Wyzetta, the girls' state hockey tournament, coming up next week. And, oh, by the way, we're going to talk some more hockey following the news at 8 o'clock here on Sports to the Max. About 8:20 tonight, Melissa Volk, Andover girls hockey head coach. The Huskies, defending runner-up 2 years ago, were the state champs. They are unbeaten heading to the state tournament. They won their section final, beating Elk River Zimmerman last night. Brad Frost scheduled to join as well. Coming up following the news and weather at 8 here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.